H5N1 virus. And what they were talking about was recommendations from the World Health Organization and concerns. And I want to just quote what Jerry Weir, who was one of the moderators of the 6.5-hour meeting on H5N1, stated. He said, "We'll briefly go over some recent developments that are sort of the reason why we are here today. First of all, H5 influenza viruses continue to diversify genetically and antigenically, which is the pathogen. Antigenically is the what we would call a spike protein and what causes the disease, right?" He goes, "into multiple clades and subclades." So he's saying, look, this highly deadly version of the flu, H5N1, is mutating quickly. And then this gentleman, Todd Davis, got on and he gave a presentation. He talked about the H5N1. He gave this huge map of the United States. And there's all these H5N1 outbreaks of dairy cow milk, dairy cows that produce milk and poultry. And he said, Todd Davis, who works for the CDC, he said, "I'm not seeing, based on what the World Health Organization sent to us and the data we have in the United States, I'm not seeing very aggressive mutations." But then at the end of his presentation, Paul Offit, and I think many of your viewers know that name, Dr. Paul Offit, he is a part of the Vaccine Advisory Board for the FDA. He is the head of pediatrics and virology at the University of Philadelphia Hospital, Children's Hospital. He's very pro-vaccine. Well, at the end of Todd's, you know, presentation, where he goes, "We don't need to worry about this mutating from the cows and the poultries." He didn't exactly say that, but he alluded to it, to humans. And Paul Offit comes on and he says, "Well, I appreciate your presentation, but the H5 viruses to date bind to the alpha-2-3 receptor, which is not found in the human, not alpha-2-6. So until they evolve to bind to the alpha-2-6 receptors, they're not going to be a human pandemic yet." And yet. That made me, because what is the story we heard about Wuhan, Maria? That's why they have the Wuhan story from December of 2019, because at the seafood market, 9 people ate food from the Wuhan. Supposedly they ate a bat soup or whatever. And that started a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. So yeah. They are preparing to tell the American people, "Oh, look, the dairy cows or the poultry, we did a test. And we found that there's H5N1 and it can mutate to humans. And we don't want to be responsible for the next global pandemic."
Right.
So we're going to decimate the food supply.
They've already been doing test runs of that. They've killed millions of animals in Australia. I can testify to that. They've killed, I don't know how many now in the US. I don't know the exact numbers, but there was a huge culling that happened in relation to this because of the threat of potentially spreading to humans. Then they reported from some guy who actually had pink eye and not, you know, the bird flu. And so they have been slowly, slowly preparing us for this, leading up to this point of being able to, through these regulatory bodies, decimate the food supply in the event of a potential maybe, who knows, maybe emergency. This is basically what it is. And of course, something like that and this system that they've set up would be used in a time of manufactured war or manufactured war, regardless, which they are leading us into as we speak. And so they even say here that especially during public health emergencies, they want the remote access to food manufacturing facilities records. The fact that they've highlighted there, especially during public health emergencies, we know now that they're lumping climate change and public health emergencies into the same narrative.
And what you pointed out was they want access to the retail food providers' systems. So that should be alarming to people as well, because according to John Hopkins and the CDC, food poisoning, which you could get a bacterial or viral infection now. Apparently now we can get the flu from eating the food. That's probably, they're going to come up with that story. We need to get ahead of that story. They said it could take up to 3 weeks to present with symptoms of food poisoning, of getting a virus or bacteria. So if they say, look, we found this meat that we found poultry that's contaminated with H5N1, it can infect humans. They can get your customer loyalty program number, you know, your Ralph's Club, your Vaughn's Club, your Publix Club, and say, oh, Maria Z bought this chicken at Publix. It's contaminated with the H5N1 flu. It can potentially infect humans. It's 20% case fatality rate. Her family and everyone she's been in touch with must quarantine for the next 3 weeks.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what they are describing. Before I prove that to people, team, overhead shot, please. Per the October 9th USDA press statement, Bruce Pack recalls ready to eat meat and poultry products due to possible listeria contamination. Look at this. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an illness should contact their healthcare provider. They recalled approximately nearly 10 million pounds of ready-to-eat meat and poultry products. To almost 10 million pounds of food on a whim, they recalled and said, "You can't. We're taking control of this. You can't eat this." And like Karen said, the next step then is to say, oh, anyone who may have potentially been exposed to this or walked through an aisle or even walked into a shopping center that was selling these is now required to quarantine. That is true. But again, almost 10 million pounds of food, and they even admit that there have been no confirmed reports of anyone even getting sick from this. So what I'm seeing here is them setting up, like I said, wartime, cutting off of the food supply through this narrative of pandemics and climate change coming together. This is what it is.
And I want to point out that recall from Bruce Pack, the over 10 million pounds, and they keep expanding it, by the way, is atypical. It goes against the over 230 recalls that have been done over the last 25 years. How are recalls normally done? A consumer goes to their healthcare provider with symptoms of food poisoning. And the healthcare provider then contacts the FDA, CDC through this system, and they report that they have someone who has food poisoning. And then if there's multiple reports, the CDC and HHS and the FDA, they have a division called CORE that makes phone calls to the healthcare providers and to the consumers to find out where they bought the food. There's a video on the FDA website, and if you watch how they do recalls, it's always about them contacting sick patients, finding out where they purchased their food from. And a member of the CDC, this PhD, Laura, she stated this is why the customer loyalty programs are so important, because many times people forget where they purchased their products, but we can look at the loyalty programs. But my point is, historically, someone has to get sick first before they do a recall. And now they're being proactive and saying, well, no, we don't want to risk anyone to getting sick. And by the way, listeria, it is very serious to pregnant women, to their unborn babies, newborns, and elderly people who have multiple core morbidities and very weakened systems and immune systems. But in general, it's not a very serious bacteria. It's a threat. It's not a threat to, like I said, healthy school children.
Well, this is just one case, Karen, of alleged potential listeria. The point is that they're talking about potential. So no cases, no adverse events, no nothing. They're talking about potential the same way that they talk about there's pandemic potential because people have been going out and stepping on too much grass today. And so now we might have a pandemic. And so everyone needs to get preemptively injected. This is their future that they have planned. This is what they have. Routine injections for everyone linked with your digital ID, your digital currency, so on and so forth. And so when President Trump says no CBDCs and the UN says, oh, we're really, really scared of another Trump administration, now you know why. Now you know why. Yeah. So we're gonna track it through the rewards program. Mind you, once there's a digital ID, they'll be tracking it through that as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Karen Kingston right after this break to close this off.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of brain force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.